I think a footnote needs to be made on that point is all I'm saying. So people don't think that you're actually cutting. You're coming in dead even from 2008 to 2009. You're basically flatlining, indicating that your projected income on listener support is essentially going to be the same as it was in 2008.
Well, we're cutting about 30,000.
30,000. Okay.
Yeah. It ain't much.
Yeah, it was it was 57 to 31, I think is what it was when you look at those end numbers. So my point is that that's not $223,622, and it's a confusing point. I'd like a footnote on that so that the PMB will know what that means about the split between the two fiscal years.
You can do that, Mike.
Oh, also, but you know, hold on a second.
Can I make a
Mike,
point?
There's something. There's a little more disclosure I need to do on that fund drives tab. It looks like our business manager only entered in year-to-date fulfillment on the current year's fund drives. So those numbers will actually go higher.
You've got almost $200,000 more.
Yeah.
So you may be coming in at two. See, now that's telling me you're actually coming in under. That tells me something different.
If you want that clarified before it goes to the national board in September, we can ask her to update that information with newer MEMS's numbers so you have a better basis for comparison.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Right.
I think this preciseness issue is important. And somebody had
but
a question.
You're going to get a better trend comparing the gross pledge, and there you will see 180,000 drop.
Okay, Jamie,
Mike,
did you have a question?
Mike, if I could just make a quick comment, you raise an excellent point. I spent some time trying to figure that out, too, because I couldn't figure it out either. And actually, it turns out on the development spread tab, the top 10 lines are all about fund drives. It's kind of like another reiteration of the fund drive 08, 09 comparison, and there the numbers are somewhat different than what's on the fund drive tab, which is, you know, goes all the way back for several years. And then there's the point that Brian made that the fund drive, on the fund drive tab for 2008, they're not completely fulfilled, especially one of them only comes to 64% fulfillment. And there's one other point about, on the main sheet, listener support being $200,000 less, it's important to remember, I just realized this about KPFA's budget, which is quite different from WBAI. KPFA seems to get, I don't know, $800,000 or $1 million in listener support that does not come through, that's not booked as fund drive revenue. So that also needs to be examined, you know, to understand the difference from year to year.
Can you break, what do you mean, Jamie?
Have on the development page, if you go down to lines number, here we are on that development page, lines 155 through 160 on the development worksheet, it has five different subcategories that total into listener support income. Those categories are on-air, projected collected, direct mail, renewals, telemarketing, and other listener support. Now, there's no telemarketing entry. Apparently, KPFA doesn't plan any telemarketing, but there are let's see, if you go over to 0155 through 0160, column O, rows 155 through 160, you can kind of compare, you know, you see what's planned for the year. $2.168 million in on-air, but then $225 in direct mail, $304 in renewals, $313 in other, which adds up to more than $800,000 in listener support that's not fund drive based.
In that regard, to continue the string of Jamie's question, we're in the total direct mail line item 156. Is that the same as line item 40?
I think that doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's not a net. That's a gross.
Right.
Right.
But it's just important. You know, people coming to KPFA's budget for the first time, you know, you need to remember that listener support does not necessarily equal fund drives. There's a lot of non-fund drive income that comes in under listener support in this budget.
It's good.
You're getting off-air income.
Yeah, those are strong programs. They've been in place for a while. They've been well maintained, and they're strong programs.
You know, I have one
and,
other
and
question.
And let me tell you, they drop their people off. They don't keep people on for 5 or 6, you know, renewal notices. After 3, they'll cycle them off, which is good. That's healthy.
One other question I had for you, Brian, if I may, and then I'll be quiet. In 2009, I believe you're predicting 90% fulfillment rate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 2007, which seems to have complete fulfillment, you have 91%, 87%, 87%, and 88%, which averages about to 88%, which would be 2% of, I don't know, that's like a... Do you believe that 90% is an accurate projection?
You know, it was the last time I ran historic data on fund drives. And perhaps I should double-check those with our business manager. I think our fulfillment rate's actually going to be higher on some things we've been doing lately, like our summer drive we did almost entirely non-premium-driven fundraising.
Oh, those, good.
Those just tend to come in at a higher rate.
Yeah, but that's a good question, Brian. Because your 2008 fulfillment rate in an unprecedented fashion was at 69% in the winter and 84% in the fall.
That's only year to date.
Yeah, those aren't finished up.
So some people, when they pledge, Mike, they say, I want to pay in 12 monthly installments.
Right.
So we don't consider ourselves to have complete fulfillment on a drive until we're a year out from the drive.
Okay. I guess that deserves a follow-up question, though, in the context of if we're going to have a discussion. I would like to make sure on that, because we're seeing in 2008 extra stress on our donors for all the economic reasons. I'm sure that this is just a product of not having fully collected on our pledge drive and not a product of economics.
Right, I think it's a combination of both. And one line item right already there on 2008 Summer Mini, we already know that that wasn't the actual, or it might have been the projected received.
Yep.
But it wasn't.
I mean, winter is at 69%, and then fall of 2007 is at 84%, which is really the lowest fulfillment rate in your history until,
yeah, but remember,
she
plugged those numbers in March 08, according to her budget. So at that point, she's only 5 months out from the drive.
So these numbers are 5 months old? Is that what you're saying?
They might go up. They should go up.
They should go up, yeah.
Well, we
started vetting this budget in June.
let's follow up on fulfillment rates for the fall and the winter.
Okay, so I've got... update the data on fulfillment rates, which I think is great, and get a narrative support for the direct mail numbers on the development sheet.
And footnote the difference
footnote
on the variance of the listener support number because of the change in
the
fiscal.
Bleed over of the, right. Basically, it's a two-part pledge. Half of it will be in the fiscal year. I mean, all of it will be in this fiscal year, but so much of the returns, anything not on a credit card will probably start coming in October 1.
All right. I have, if we go to this, so we've got that question pending that we'll follow up on. I have a question, and I'm trying to make sure that I do not get into something that I say for executive session, but if we go to the salary tab,
mm-hmm.
There is a line item 119. Which I'm just going to call it line item 119.
Yeah, salary reduction contingency.
Yeah, which is blank. I don't understand that.
Well, the way we've handled reductions in our budget at our station, where our local board has not been particularly good at keeping a lid on personnel issues, is we show a full staff roster with the amount of reductions we need to make in dollar terms to balance the budget.
Would that be line item 76 through 84? 77?
Well, the whole sheet you're looking at, the salaries worksheet, shows the full staff roster. And then that contingency line, which is really a misnomer. It's not a contingency. It's reductions we have to make, is what is going to get cut away from what's above it.
Okay, so 121,500?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's from gross salaries.
Okay, I just got to leave it at that at this point because we're not in executive session. But I just want to make, maybe next week in executive session, we might just make sure we understand what's happening there so that we can appreciate fully what sacrifices some people made.
Well, we're cutting jobs. It's either going to be layoffs, it's going to be attrition, or...
Well, you indicated a reduction in 2.5 FTEs. But you suggested that that was going to happen either through an attrition or a non-rehire of a part-time job. Is that basically
Well, that's purely speculative on my part. I'm just looking at how our management has handled the reductions they have budgeted in the past. They've done it in the least disruptive manner possible. So that's been closing jobs when they open or slicing hours off jobs when they open. And limiting to the maximum extent possible the amount of people who get abruptly put out of work. I don't know if that's going to be possible, having to cut almost 3 positions at once by the start of the year. But that's been their approach. I have no idea what positions are on the chopping block, frankly.
Well, it doesn't sound like there are any for the benefit of the record and the public. I mean, it sounds like that they're trying, as you said, to do this in the least painful way possible.
I only know how they've done things in the past. I don't know.
Mike, it also includes, Mike, the salary reduction, according in the footnotes, the National Office footnotes, is basically it's the 2.25 part-time positions and 3.75 temporary positions. So there you have it. Also, the consultant expenses to be cut as well. So don't forget, we sent letters out. Everybody, I mean, even though it was back in April, May, all stations received those letters. And I think some of this, all the budgets are acting on that as much as possible.
If I could raise a suggestion here.
Who's that?
Mentioned
earlier. Campbell?
Yes, Campbell Johnson.
I'm sorry, Cam. I'll get used to your voice. I just haven't been.
Okay. One of the things you may want to consider is a furlough. And this is something where maybe higher income professional staff could maybe take 2 days, say for a month, that would not be paid, depending upon how it works, and then the lower income staff maybe 1 day. And this can be something, it wouldn't be like 12 months out of the year, but it could be something like, say, 3 to 5 months, depending upon how the numbers work out on that. And that way you're still maintaining, a commitment to the employees that you, wish to retain. And, you're able to also trim the budget amounts.
Yeah. I mean, those. Basically, I look at that as kind of within management's discretion. I think they have a responsibility to give me a dollar amount on what they're going to cut out, give us, rather, and that implementation really needs to be managed on that level. I'm personally not a huge fan of furloughs, unless you think you only have a temporary financial problem. I think at KPFA we have a long-term trend, which is that our expenses are rising much faster than our revenues, which are completely flat right now, and that we need to look to having a sustainable staff structure. And for the foreseeable future, that's going to mean slowly phased-in reductions.
Mr. Chairman?
Well,
yes, I'll
go.
Excuse me, I have to go soon. Mike, as you know, I have family obligations. This is Nicole. Sorry to interrupt everybody.
Well, I don't
think... Is there anything finally you need from me? I'd speak a moment to furloughs,
let me just mention, if I can, it's Campbell Johnson.
Hold on one second, before Nicole leaves. Nicole, we're going to try to get into KPFT's budget today, and you're going to leave. We've got Alberto. It may very well be that we need to talk to you, or Do you think I should get Dwayne on the line next week if we have any big questions?
Yeah, I'd like to just, as you look at KPFT, they're having, and again, this can dovetail into the bottom line. We have security issues at KPFT. And right now, you know, they're taking on an extra cost on an already really thin year in order to hire security. Now, I'm not saying this is ongoing, but this is one of those contingency issues. Every station is skating by, those that can, to try to close out the fiscal year not in deficit. And really, we're crossing our fingers for all of them. We know some are not going to do that. It's a bare-bones budget, but it also doesn't allow for much growth. And that's what's kind of startling about all our stations' budgets. But I think that also points to, ultimately, why we need to reconfigure things, why we do need to find economies that can also deliver a punch. And that's possible. So I think we have to think about some capital needs for T, such as around security, given some of the nuance about just being in that market and what's going on there. That's all I'll say to T.
Nicole, you just said something that I think that we, and I don't know that it's appropriate here at this point, but you just said that we needed to learn from a standpoint of a scale of economies how to grow. You said it more artfully than I just did. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we can deliver a bigger punch. When you get down to an economy of scale, look, in general, Pacifica is built around people and their jobs. I mean, that is the biggest place where all the money goes, and that's fine. I mean, I'm not coming
well,
in.
Let me stop you there.
Dragon lady.
I was looking for, and is not an answer to that right now, but maybe a white paper memo from you on what you actually mean by that.
It was part of that global plan I put out, remember?
Okay, it's in the global plan, so I just need to go look there.
Well, it's not it. That's the exact framing. That's the framing I set up for the global plan.
Okay. All right.
Want me to write a one-pager on it, on, like, even more as I've continued to think about it and know everything a little bit better, I will, Mike. In fact, I was thinking about that on the drive home tonight.
Okay. That would be a good idea.
Let me just make a brief statement. That is that it is a fundamental accounting principle, business principle, and that is called the going concern. In other words, we aren't folding up shop here. And I think when you take the perspective that, well, revenues are going to be flat and declining, and, you know, what we're doing is just folding up the tent, maybe over a period of years or something like that, I don't think that's, that's not the kind of vision that I have for this entity. And I think that, Pacifica can do better than that and must do better than that. And to have a notion that what we're doing is just scaling back everything, that doesn't sound like we're looking at having a future. And I think that,
Campbell, I don't know if you're reacting to the word scale, but I think what Mike meant was economies of scale. For example, it's all back-end stuff. We just had a long conversation about Memphis. Well, there would be a way to link it and have it centralized. There would be a way to centralize our accounting so that then you redirect the resources at the local level to more outreach, to visibility, to the web, to content development, to all of that. But when you're replicating, this is what I mean by economy of scale, when you're replicating the same thing at 5 or 6 different sites throughout the country, with the technology that we have, with the ways where we could look where other businesses have created economies of scale, it doesn't mean scale down. It just means that you're not framing it right and that there are lots of things that can be done. Well, not lots, but there are things that will cause an economy where you can then redirect resources that deliver a bigger punch. Like a visibility campaign. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Alberto. Hold on.
Just a very quick one.
Alberto, was that for Nicole? Because I was going to try to let her go.
Let her go.
Okay. Nicole, go to your son and wish him, we all wish him the best, and we will see you next week. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot this week, and we will try to finish up our discussion of KPFA and get to KPFT tonight. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and I want to welcome Campbell. Campbell, it's great to have somebody from WPFW, and
thank you.
Great that you're on. And thank you, everybody. And please, let's not forget that we have a whole other issue going on, and anybody that receives documents, try to turn them around fast on our LOC. Thank you very much. Talk to you all soon. Bye.
Thank you, Nicole.
Bye-bye.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Alberto.
Just quickly, one quick question. Answer to my question was just given to me by Nicole. Mr. Campbell, welcome. Are you a treasurer or are you a board member at WPFW?
He's treasurer.
Both.
Come again?
Board member and treasurer.
Board member and treasurer. Does that
yes.
mean that from WPFW we're only going to have one person sitting?
Alberto,
on...
this is not the subject
I don't think
matter.
So.
You're out of order. We're talking about the KPFA budget right now. Did you have a question about the KPFA budget?
I just want an answer, Mike.
Okay, we'll deal with that later. He's the treasurer. He's on the committee just like you are, and we already have Zakai Free, who is also the board member that sits on this committee.
Okay, thank you. That's my answer. Thank you, Mike.
Uh-huh. Okay, back to the KPFA budget, and Brian, I'd like to go to the capital tab if we could.
Sure.
Could you just describe for us what essentially, it doesn't look like you guys have much plans for capital improvements, but you do have a plan for the restaurant space, is that right?
Not really. That's not enough money to do anything substantial with it.
You've got a $12,000 budget for the MLK former restaurant space, and
yeah.
It looked like to me a bare bones build out of something.
No, I think that some of the work we need to do to keep that building limping along gets booked as capital, like fixing some dry rot in it.
Well, I mean, the thought of that is that if you can get it upgraded to a point where somebody might want to rent it out and turn it into a revenue generator.
It's true. I mean, the problem is the restaurant that was there went out of business, and currently on our block there are three other empty restaurant storefronts, several of which are preferable spaces. So I'm not too optimistic about our prospects of renting it out in this economy.
As a restaurant, but has your LSB at least entertained the idea of exploring other options for that property that might generate income?
We've kicked around different ideas. Revenue generation would be tough. We've talked about build-outs that would help meet the needs and the community needs. Have you been over there, Mike?
You know, I've never been at all to the Berkeley station, so I'm...
It's kind of small. We're definitely not getting the best use out of it right now, but we are getting some use out of it by warehousing premiums there. And that's letting us order our premiums faster so we can get them out the door faster.
Are there any CDCs in Berkeley or a Main Street program or something?
There's a bunch of credit unions that are happy to invest in local nonprofits like ours for well thought out capital projects.
What about the rest of your capital budget?
Sure. The equipment line, $55,000. We're doing a digital equipment out in the transmitter, but on the equipment in the station. It's something we have to do in order to be up to speed with Arbitron's portable people meters program. It's also something that our engineer thinks will just make the station sound a little bit crisper and replace some equipment that's on the brink of going. We're hopeful that we'll be able to get a matching grant on that from the NTAA, but we're not counting on it. So we're budgeting as if we won't get the matching grant because this type of project is a low priority for the NTIA. However, we did move to the final stage of review for them a couple weeks ago. Computer equipment is fairly standard. We slowly rotate out parts to keep them up to speed. Other capital improvements, again, this is stuff that, that if you were talking to your friend, you would call maintenance, but it gets booked as capital because you're buying building materials and installing them. Our building's pushing on 17 years old now, and some parts of it are showing their age. We got some dry rot we need to clean out, some places we need to seal up, some projects continuing from this year. And then we already discussed the contingency line.
All right. Do we have any other questions about the KPFA budget? This has been a remarkably quiet group, considering the history.
I would have a basic question. Do you have any business people on your board?
You mean people who own businesses?
Or people who have backgrounds in business or economic development?
No, I would say probably not.
I kind of suspected that, you know, when you sort of saying that the best you can do with this restaurant property is use it as a warehouse.
I didn't say it's the best we could do. I said it's what we're using it for right now.
But you're saying that there are credit unions that would fund a reasonable plan. And, you know, I'm wondering why it would be sitting there without a...
Am I on or not? Is Sherry okay? Am I muted or not?
You're on, Sherry, but
okay.
Campbell has the floor.
I know. I just...
Okay, so it's just something for future consideration. But it just, you know, seems to me as though having a resource like that and not doing anything with it is, you know, maybe something positive could be done with it.
Right. No, I think that is totally legitimate. It's something we've not budgeted for because we don't have a plan. And I would look to management to develop something like that. They've not done a lot of long-term planning for the station because they've been officially in an interim capacity for the past 2 years, although I know Nicole is working on wrapping up a permanent hire for our manager this month.
I've got another question on the administrative tab. You've got $9,000 budgeted for child care.
Yep.
What is that?
It's part of our union contract at KPFA. There's a small allotment for child care for any union employee who needs it. And, we budget as if the maximum will be used. So it's reimbursement for daycare.
Okay, it's reimbursement for daycare. Do you actually have a daycare facility on site, or is this just...
No, it's reimbursement.
And that's part of the union contract?
Yeah.
Okay. When is that new union contract up?
In a year.
Okay. And I say this coming from I'm a labor guy, but, you know. All right. Any other questions on KPFA?
I just want to... this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
The building that is part of the KPFA property... was in a state of disrepair when it was occupied by the restaurant. And then during the uprisings of the 99, the street was occupied in front of the restaurant, and it was, you know, the final blow for the restaurant. When they abandoned the property, an inspection at that time revealed that it needed thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of work just to be able to rent it out as a restaurant, let alone thousands and thousands more to convert it. It's valuable property. It can produce a lot of income, but it means that the foundation, on behest of the station or for its own behalf, would have to encumber a huge amount of money to bring it up to speed. And then, of course, it is... It's in a very good place. It's well situated. There are condos or a shopping center or something going up across the street. We just don't have the wherewithal right now to attend to that.
Yeah, it's about the estimate is about $120,000 to get the last I heard to get the building up to code to rent it out to someone who would do their own build out.
Well, that was one thing I was going to offer, Brian, as a landlord who is running my law office as well as a building, is that, you know, one thing you might look at in terms of profiling cost out is how much you might be able to get in terms of built-out allowance, a reduced built-out allowance and a built-out to be covered by a potential tenant or potentially a longer-term lease at a lower rate, you know, just something to consider.
I think these are all good things to put on the table once we have a permanent manager and we can start doing some strategic planning. Probably not something we're going to be doing fiscal year. I mean, we can do the planning this fiscal year, not something we're going to start spending on. I mean, our estimates on if we were going to turn it into production space and build studios over there, we're talking $600,000-$700,000, because we have to do soundproofing, we have to do some pretty intense cabling work to get back to the main studios to integrate the tech. Right now, there's a massive pit in the ground, which is a construction project that'll be going on for about a year across the street. Eventually, that'll be a Trader Joe's and some condos, and that might make it possible to fill up some of those empty storefronts on our block. But right now, it's not a place that's getting a lot of foot traffic.
Okay. We're going to leave the KPFA budget on the table, pending further discussion on some of the line items that the committee has...
Well, so hold on. Tell me where you want this to go. Do you want to bring this back to a vote in a week with more supporting information, or
yes.
Do you want to give it provisional approval and ask for that supporting information to go right to the national board?
I think the especially the question about the mailer and the 190,000 to 33,000. I think that requires a good explanation before the committee actually vote on it. Why don't we wait for that, and we'll put KPFA on agenda for voting out to the PNB next week. With hopefully that provides those explanations.
Okay, so if we kick it to next week, can we limit discussion to that one item?
Yes.
Just so that we get moving through the other stuff we need to get to.
Right.
Great.
Next week is, and I think the committee will be motivated to do that because next week is WBAI. And I am told that, we just heard from our executive director that we have Kay's budget coming, so I don't want to ignore Kay as being potential next week, but I am told that we will have a draft budget sometime this week for WBAI. And then, of course, we've got to do WPFW, and of course, we've got a lot of things. Let me tell you, Sherry, when is the national meeting?
The next, am I on?
No,
I don't
know. The in-person.
The next national, the in-person is on September 18th, and the next PMD meeting by phone is on August 15th, Friday.
And let me tell you, to the committee, let me tell you what my concern is. I don't know that this is a PNB mandate, but I already started getting heat today from people wanting a draft of the budget 10 days before the meeting, the national meeting. And I don't know how feasible that's going to be considering the challenges we face, but we've got to get this budget vetted fully before the national meeting, and we've got to get it circulated to the PNB within some reasonable time. I don't know if it'll be 10 days. It may be more like 5 days before the national meeting. But you all need to keep that in mind in terms of our schedule. And like I told Summer already, once we get past this budget, it's vacation time for the committee for a while. And although we have a lot of long-term things to consider, I'm not going to bury the committee in meetings right after we get this budget done.
Say before we move on that I really appreciate the amount of time that y'all apparently spent reviewing this, particularly Mike and Jamie, and I think the more eagle eyes we have on each budget, the better. And golly, I get up and present this to my local board, and sometimes I feel like for most of them, I might as well be reading out of the phone book. So this is a thrill. Thank you for your diligence.
Well, and Brian, thank you for the commitment you made to get this done. This is not an easy job, so I mean it's a two-way street. We appreciate it.
Brian.
Chair will lay out the
KPFT
budget, and I can help with Alberto in terms of laying that, although I'm going to defer to Alberto if he's comfortable with that. And I don't know where you are, Alberto.
We have such a small budget. We were not going to have that many problems with it.
Okay, I just didn't. My concern was whether you had numbers in front of you.
A few. No, but I have a few. A few excuses for me to present to the group.
If you have a question about a particular line item, why don't you direct that to me to the committee and to general questions. We'll start with Alberto, and I'm gonna go ahead and yield the floor to Alberto to lay out the budget.
Well, we have a very, very...
Which budget is this now?
KPFT.
KPFT budget.
Okay. Houston.
Okay.
And we have probably the smallest budget in the network. The budget here presented before you is for $1,336,000. It was developed by the general manager with cost-cutting measures in mind, using the available data that we had within our MEMSIS and within our actual track records. And we have before you a budget that more or less came in at around 6% less than the previous year. And that's pretty much it. We have a very small staff. We have very small overhead since, as you're all aware, we are the owners of the foundation owns the physical plant. And I'm willing for us to talk about it, see what you guys can find out. And if I cannot answer and if Mike cannot answer, we can know them, and maybe we might be able to get our manager, Dwayne Bradley, to come in and give you more specific answers, just like we did with KPFA.
Let me point out a couple of additional points. With regard to line item 41, relating to listener support, speaking from memory, but that line item is coming in at about $120,000 under what we got for listener support in 2007, the last full year that was evaluated. So the number on listener support is calculating, I can't remember what Alberto just said, a 6% reduction in listener income.
I want to point out that I think that line item is at $1,113,000, Mike.
Okay, I'm looking at line item 41, and it's $1,086,418.
According to that's what was in my mind, and Dwayne this afternoon told me that from the way he looked at it, it was just a little bit higher than that because he also threw in some other non-listener support money that is actually from listener support, but I cannot give you a detailed answer on that particular number there, Mike.
Dwayne is being very the point I think that Alberto's making is that Dwayne has been very conservative in not in under budgeting what listener support is expected. And in that regard, it is a bare-bones budget. The current issue that is pressing KPFT, as Nicole pointed out, was security. As you know, earlier this year we had a drive-by shooting at the station. That's not the only security issue. This last month we have had...
a gentleman?
An individual on premises who has made some threats and has returned, and it's required calling police. So what the station is doing in the short term is hiring a security guard. The cost is going to be $7,000, and that is not in this budget draft right now. Of course, it's a 2008 cost right now, but the approach, if necessary, the contingency plan, if necessary, to pay for that for this year is a voluntary cut by management of 10% in salaries in order to cover that cost.
Let me ask you this. This person who came by and made threats, were they against personnel or was it against the station?
The person is a paranoid schizophrenic and there's
very mentally,
no logic what he's doing.
Mentally sick person.
Is this person institutionalized now?
No, the police keep letting him out, and we're hoping that the next time he goes either to the radio station or somewhere in the neighborhood, the appropriate medical personnel grab him and give him medical treatment, but it seems like...
Or send him to Queen Channel.
In Texas, you know, the cops come instead of the medical professionals.
I think you ought to go after the cops on that, because this is crap. That person could show up with a machine gun, and then you have a bloodbath on your hands. And, you know, by not going after the cops right now, you know, it's something that, you know, there could be some culpability because we didn't blow the whistle loud enough, you know? And
excuse me?
Yes? Just a brief point for consideration.
Well, I think that management is looking at it. Apparently, the individual is fixated on a particular program, and that is something they're working on. They are getting a security guard on site to deal with it in the short term to see how that goes. The other issue that is an issue of potential cut to KPFT is that we're advocating trying to get out of property taxes here in Texas as a nonprofit corporation, but have not been successful at this point, and that endeavor is occurring. But it's a $14,000 line item, and that is another issue. But everything else, if you just look at it, I mean, it's just everything has been zeroed out. Or
has a specific appeal been made, to change the classification of the property?
Yes.
Well, actually, Mr. Campbell, what we need to do is we need to add two words to the Texas Property Code, which we're going to strive to get on the books for this upcoming term of the Texas legislature. Right, Mike?
Yes, but in terms of answering Campbell's question, it has been appealed. I handled the appeal personally as pro bono lawyer for the station on that. So we are working on it.
Okay. That's something that works close to my heart because I'm very concerned about, nonprofit properties that end up on the tax rolls when they're being used for nonprofit purposes. But it's a jurisdictional issue. So
we need to
the other line item that we've been focusing in on, that we focused in on with KPFA, that I'll just bring up, is line item 82. It's called lab elections. They just never changed it from LSB, but that budgeted item is at $15,900. I'll say the same
lab elections.
I'll say the same thing about that line item as I did during KPFA. That would be great if we came up with an alternative plan in order to reduce that amount. And of course, that would be split in half, just like KPFA's in terms of the fiscal year. But that's basically it. If you look at this budget, it's the numbers are a lot smaller than KPFA's, but. You know, Houston, we're a little small operation. So,
Brian,
questions?
Everything's
Jamie?
Big in Texas.
Questions?
I think you have Jamie wanting to ask them.
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
Waiting to be called on.
Jamie,
how unique.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Let's see. I had a couple of questions. We passed a motion about a month ago discussing day spin and fund drive. Do you have an idea of how many days you spend in Fund Drive in fiscal year 2008, or you would all told?
I want to say we did 70 plus 9. I think 70. We're doing around, we did this year, we're going to do around 79 days.
Wow, that's a lot.
Because we do from Saturday, a whole week, weekend, a whole week, through the next weekend, so it's 2 weekdays and 3 weekends, so that's 5, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 days per drive times
okay.
3, I'm sorry, I misjudged, 16 days times 3, I'm sorry, that's not true, it's 2, 5, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, plus the summer sizzler, which is 9 days.
That would be 57.
I think that's how much our fund drive for this fiscal year. Those are the days that we had a fund drive for this fiscal year.
57 days. Okay. Well, thank you.
There was a presentation just to kind of follow up on it. It was a presentation last week jointly by the LSB and the Program Council and staff regarding the issue of fund drive days. And essentially, the bottom line of the presentation was that we have the ability, as Nicole explained a couple of meetings ago, to run Arbitron numbers, but they're more specific, and I can't remember what they're called.
Personal people meter.
Running those numbers during fund drives, and the overwhelming and compelling conclusion that we learned from this is not going to be any surprise to any of you, but that listenership tanks during the fund drives in a huge way, and I think that there's a high sensitivity to that issue. And it should be with regard to fund drive days, and at least down here in Houston.
Okay, I have a couple. That's good to hear. I have a couple more questions, if I
Go
could,
ahead.
Real quick. Let's see. I noticed that I see in the full budget, let's see if I can find where I was here. Full budget, total income is $1.336 million.
Yes.
In the previous budget, it was like $1.578 million.
Yes.
So that's a big step down.
Yes.
Can you explain briefly, not, I don't know,
sure,
with as little detail as possible, where that savings will come from?
Sure. Most, the cutting down of the numbers or the eliminating of the numbers started earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
On the budget, on the 08 budget, and we have eliminated substantial amounts of development money for the premiums.
Okay.
So our premiums went down, and you know, considerably. Also, there were several part-time positions that are not going to be filled, and will not be filled in the 09 year. And again, like Mike pointed out, managerial staff took a 10% cut. And I want to say that, and I can't vouch for it, but I want to say that it is going on in not only in the 08, but into the 09 year. And I can't tell you much more than that, Jamie.
Okay.
If you can if you can scope out those numbers in there,
Could you? Is it possible to say, you know, if FTEs went down from last year?
I was going to follow up, Jamie. There'll be an elimination of two part-time FTEs.
So that would add up to one person, or
right? Well, and then there's one full-time FTE that is they're working with. It's a very critical FTE for not only us but for Washington.
Uh-huh.
Because, he's been on loan to Washington, but he also has an opportunity to do some other things and perhaps transfer to a consulting standard basis in at the station, where he would go to this other job but remain a consultant to us, and that would be a cost saving that's being anticipated. I think that's going to go through, and that's well known by the FTE and staff, and
right,
actually working with us on that.
I mean, I want to point out that to add to what Mike's saying, Jamie,
mm-hmm,
that the person is going to remain on staff as a part-time person, as a part-time FTE, with enough hours working at the radio station so that we fulfill our requirements with the Federal Communications Commission.
Oh, good. Can you tell me how many FTEs, like total?
I think a radio station, Mike, do you want to answer? I think it's 12 now.
I was going to say 14 last year, 12 this year.
And again,
this year being 2008 or 2009?
14, 2008, 12, 2009.
And I want to point out, Jamie, that no programmer, all of our programmers, all of our engineers, program engineers, everyone at the radio station is volunteers. All of the 75 programs that are produced at KPFT are done by volunteers. That's why we have a very small budget and a fairly small staff. Most of the staff that we have on our budget are people that run the office, people that that work the books, that work the development, that work the MEMSIS, etc.
Good. I think that's a good way to do things. Okay, well, thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you very much for this budget.
Thank you, Jamie. Any other questions?
Brian here.
Brian.
I was actually curious where Jamie was comparing KPFT's prior year budget from. Jamie, were you opening a separate spreadsheet, or did you find it?
Yeah, I was opening the income statement from May 2008, which, you know, the big income statements that we get sometimes have like old have the current year budget in them.
Gotcha. What I would ask for in terms of presentation on this budget, Mike, is that y'all put a comparison column to your budgeted current year spending, your forecast current year spending, and if you have the time, last year's audit.
Okay. Let's see if
which
we can
are the
do that.
Same comparison columns we do, because it's very, not that I don't trust y'all, but it's very hard to...
No, I think it's a good idea, and I thought it was very helpful on your budget.
Very hard to assess whether forecasts are...
Yeah.
Let's get that. Really, let's put the comparison column in there, and let's try to get it circulated this week.
Yeah.
I had a question on your fund drives budget. You said you're cutting fund drive goals by 7%. If I go into the detail on the hideous development sheet we all share, It looks like you're cutting your goals by a total of $30,000, which would mean your net after fulfillment by a total of about $24,000 if your fulfillment rate's 80%, which is what your budget says. On $1 million in fund drive revenue, how's that a 7% reduction?
Yeah, that would be like, what, close to 70,000?
Yeah.
I can't answer that, sir.
Okay.
I cannot give you that
answer.
Why don't we
take that to Duane, and we'll come back, as that being one of the pending questions for the T budget.
But, Brian, since you have that number, just quickly before you, how much was our listener support projected in your numbers there? Because I don't have the numbers before me.
I don't have your forecast handy. What I have is your budget. And your budget, your listener support line, is 1.086 million.
Yeah.
And I was telling you from memory, because I don't have it in front of, I don't have that comparison in front of me. But let's get that question. Let's let that be one of the questions.
And I just want, we will get some answers to you, but I was listening to the way you were breaking your the way you classify membership, listener support, Brian. And if my mind does not serve me wrongly, I think that Duane, our general manager, breaks it up into different categories, and that's how our budget, listener support, he has budgeted a little over $1,010,000, but our overall budget is $1,336,000, because he breaks like the matching grants from the corporations that match our listeners separately. And then he separates. He also uses fundraisings that are off-air fundraisings differently than how I heard you mention it earlier. So we'll answer. I mean, I'm sure Duane can give us the answers for our next meeting, given the questions that you've got, because I think we need those comparisons and those ways of looking at that. At those numbers, the way that you guys have been doing it at W.
We'll get that for you.
This is Grace. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Grace.
I have a more broad question. From what I've heard in economic news, Houston is the one station that is housed in an economy that's stronger than the national average because of there being so many energy and oil interests in Houston. For instance, I have an article here, Houston area shows healthy gain in personal income, 2007 income above U.S. average with a 9.4% increase in 2007. And according to other reports, the Houston economy has been even stronger in 2008. So, I can understand our stress that shortfalls at other stations are based to some degree at least on economic shortfalls in the country. That doesn't seem to be the case from reports I hear in Houston. So if it's not, maybe this is incorrect from your perspective, but is it correct that the Houston economy appears to be solid and expanding, and if it is, what do you attribute the economic shortfall at the station to be?
Well, Grace, let me answer that. It's true that Exxon is posting record profits and that those assholes living over in Memorial in Houston, the richest, most Republican precinct in the entire world, are reaping huge profits for their $5 million homes, but let's not confuse that with the rest of the normal people living in Houston that are paying the same amount for gas as you. And so, and remember who's listening to our station, and it's not necessarily those oil and gas jerk-offs that are living in Houston making all that money.
Brian, can I ask something?
I'd like to ask it. Say a question here.
I sound a little tongue-in-cheek, but there's some real truth to that.
Personal income in the Houston area increased 9.4% in 2007. I'm sure that's not just the very rich, is it?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. All right.
Just drive around Houston. You'll see what I'm talking about.
I want to point out, I'd like to just quickly chime in there, Mike, to Grace.
Go ahead, Ryan. Alberto, since you're a resident.
Yeah, well, I just want to point out that, you know, I think that the way they get those statistics, you know, being a little bit more statistically oriented, they take those very huge incomes, but then figure them out across the total population. And that's why there's an increase in income, but it's really, again, very few people that are getting maybe a big bulk of it. But when you divide it into the whole community, it seems like we're making more money. Again, you know, I think we briefly touched base on that on one of our conversations, but I
Okay, thank you.
Well, you know, it's my perception, living over here in the barrio.
Okay, point well taken.
Brian? Did you want to say something?
Well, I just want to say I think we're seeing a larger trend that is not solely economically driven. And when I was trying to see if our trend forecasting was reasonable on KPFA's budget, I charted our listener support over a 15-year period. And what you see is that KPFA raised money at essentially an even level through most of the 90s and dipped during the Pacifica crisis. And then we had an historically unprecedented surge of support after September 11th that went up again in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq and sustained itself for a while after that. And we did what I think probably the rest of the network did, seeing similar numbers, which is our spending went up quite quickly along with that income. And then to maintain that level of spending, as the excitement about the two wars wound down, we had to increase the number of days we spent on air fundraising. We institutionalized a fourth fund drive, which had never been a regular part of KPFA's calendar. And I also think that's something the other stations have done. When you look at our decrease over the past couple years in on-air fundraising, we're returning to what had been kind of historical average in terms of fundraising. It's not a steep drop-off if you look at our having had a spike around two historically unprecedented events. I think maybe there was a lot of optimism at that time that the numbers would keep going up, but they haven't.
Mike, I would like to add that as far as KPFT is concerned, given the new numbers that are coming in from the people service on what our listenership is, we were surprised. And again, I'm giving this information to the rest of the members that in Houston, our listenership has peaked at points at up to 212 to 216,000 listeners, and we've never in our history had those kind of numbers coming in. We were always talking about having about 180,000 listeners.
Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Then during our fund drives, we've had our listeners go down all the way to as low about 170,000 during our fund drive. And then what I wanted to point out was that we're averaging close to 200,000 listeners. And again, and I mentioned this to Grace the other day when we had a conversation, that the average membership at KPFT, people that actually call and donate money to our radio station, runs between a low of about 8,500 to a high of about 10 to 10,500, fluctuating back and forth. So the whole weight of our radio station being kept on the air is running at about 10,000 die-hard, progressive, liberal, radical persons in the Houston area. And we've always have strived to get more people to call in, and we just have not been able to break that average of around 10,000 people that actually fund the $1.3 million that is on our, well, not really, because there's also the PBS money thrown into that budget, but about $1.25 million, maybe $1,150,000 has come from those 10,000 listener supporters that are hardcore, that turn in our money for us.
Okay, that's a, I think that's a
thank
good
you.
Description of generally what our picture is in Houston, Alberto. Thanks.
Thank you. That's it.
Any other questions about the tea budget? Okay, it's 9:30. We're kind of at our, I think we're kind of done for the day. What I'd like to do is we're going to carry this agenda. We're going to carry the A and the T budget with the questions that are pending on both budgets to be finalized, and hopefully we will move KPFA and KPFT's budget out of committee next week.
Very early in the meeting.
Mike, very early in the meetings and quickly, limited to only the discussion points that were raised. We will take up WBAI and KPFK next week, and we're hopeful with WPFW's budget. So that's kind of our timeline. Monday, same time, same place. Is there any objection to that?
Mike, can I ask for a fun drive calendar from your station as well, if your staff has the time to put one together?
Yes. That exists, I know. So we.
As a matter of fact, we're in our summer sizzler drive right now as we speak. It started on Saturday, and we run through Sunday for a total
busy.
Of 5, 6, 7, 9 days.
Okay. Fun drive calendar. We will get that as well, and I'll try to get those out as early this week as I possibly can. Any other questions? Is there any objection? Can I entertain a motion from somebody to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any objection?
None.
Hearing none,
Alberto.
Yes. Monday a week.
Hold on. I'm here.
Campbell?
I won't go.
Campbell?